time to thrive. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast with Dr. Lee Bockham. Join us as we explore ways that you can thrive in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. It's your life. Time to live it.
Hey, this is Lee Bockham. I am a full-time thriveologist, and I'm a part-time thriver. That means that I always study the science of thriving, and sometimes I even live it out. So we're here to struggle, and we're here to talk about struggling, but we're here to learn how to let that struggle be how we thrive. And that's the big thing for me, is sometimes we tend to avoid the struggle in life. And for me, struggle is the impetus for growth. It's kind of like when we decide we're going to get our body in shape. What do we have to do? We have to struggle a little bit. We have to make our muscles work to build the muscles up. And I think it's the same with our emotional and our psychological life, that we have to work out those pieces by exercising, by working against the struggle. Sometimes we want to avoid the struggle in our culture, but the real task is learning from the struggle. Now, today I have the special honor of talking to Julie Michaels. You can find Julie at dreamwithjulie.com. And Julie is a master's result life coach. She's got over 15 years in the personal development field. She's also a national facilitator. She is a master of neurolinguistics, neural repatterning, and rapid change technology, lots of other high-tech stuff of how to get very quick changes. Now, Julie is from Texas, but you're going to notice that there's a change. She's now on the West Coast. When I was talking to her, she's in Los Angeles, where she now lives, but she's also in the middle of producing a play. Julie is in the acting world. She's all about that, and she's all about helping people find their optimal performance point. So I hope you'll listen in as we talk about how your ego mind gets in your way, but more than that, how you can change that. With that, let's turn it over to the interview with Julie Michaels.
Julie, thanks for being here.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
Tell me a little bit about what you got you into, where you, what you're doing now, and how that's about you thriving and helping other people thrive.
Well, I was an acting teacher for a long time, and I started out in leadership in New York, trained to teach actors a very special workshop called The Mastery of Self-Esteem. And as I continued to do that, more and more actors wanted coaching on the side. So I'd been doing my own personal development work for a long, long time. But as that evolved, people wanted more and more of something that was more specific. So that evolved into becoming a master life coach. And also I was trained to do a lot of very specific inner child work when that was very popular. And the two of them together gave me a great combination of a way to help people get their results. Because my bottom line is I think everybody should have their dreams, and most people talk themselves out of it.
Okay, tell me more about that. What do you mean by having their dreams and how they talk themselves out of it?
Well, I think we all come in here with an idea of how we would ideally like to live life. Most people get stuck in sort of the grind of, well, I've got to have a 9-to-5 job and or I'm too old or I've, you know, but there's something they want that they really want to do or had dreamed of doing. Maybe something as a child or maybe something they've just given up because they don't think it's possible anymore. And what's amazing is that's like a little seed that lives inside you. And if you nurture it and water it, and help it grow, it's possible. It's possible, I find, at almost any age. And most people need a wonderful reflection to remind them it's possible. So that's what I get to be.
Okay, so you're talking about helping people tap into their passion.
Yeah, their passion and, you know, I wanted to be, I wanted to ride horses all my life, but it's just too expensive, or I don't live in the right place, I don't know where to find horse, you know, or anything that's, whether it's creative or doing art or writing a book, whatever it is. Most people talk themselves out of it, and that's why I'm here.
Okay, and when they talk themselves out of it, what's behind that? What do you think leads people to talk themselves out of it?
Well, that's a very good question. I've had to ask myself that, and a lot of my work is based on helping my own self out of those problems. So, you know, talking yourself out of it might be what I just said, like, oh, well, I'm too old to write a book now. Nobody cares what I have to say. I can't lose weight because I'm over 50 and after all, blah, blah, blah. All of those are kind of wonderful excuses that keep us in some place of not getting that dream. And it's for a very interesting reason. Most of us keep ourselves in an identity that we know, whether it's comfortable or not. You know, not having enough money is not comfortable on a lot of levels. But it's an identity we become. And then once we are that identity, it becomes very difficult to break outside of the box of that. So the work I do with people is to help them stretch into, oh, that new identity of being thin from somebody who's been overweight for a long time. And it's a huge difference between the two identities, I'll call it.
Okay, so basically it's about them being stuck in maybe a core belief. This identity is what they believe is true about themselves.
Exactly.
That's limited.
Yes.
And you use the term excuse.
Uh-huh. I say excuse because, well, it's very fascinating. I've developed sort of a whole new process that's about, you know, that identity, who you know yourself as, is created by your unconscious mind or your ego mind to keep you safe. And if we think of the ego mind as sort of something like a small 7 to 9 year old child who loves you very much, who may be more innocent and simple, all it knows, if you're going to change from heavy to thin, poor to rich, uncreative to creative, it perceives that as potential annihilation, because it's a very sort of basic part of our brain that's a fight or flight related part of our brain, which still is looking for dinosaurs. And so if you say, okay, now I'm going to be thin, well, it doesn't know the world of thin. It only knows, and although not comfortable and you don't want it, it knows the world of, oh, I'm an overweight person. I get reactions from people for being overweight. I have limitations from people being overweight, and all those kind of keep you inside the box of the problem. So the excuses are, if you think about it as like a box, are the boundary conditions around the problem to keep you, quote unquote, safe by that part of you.
And what's the safe from? You used that. You talked about dinosaurs, the fight or flight, and the safe idea. What feels like it's at threat?
That unconscious mind, that ego mind, and I like to call it the EGM because it really doesn't like to hear about itself. So for my purposes, that's I've created its own little acronym. What it wants to keep you, since it perceives what it doesn't know as change, as dangerous, the key is to help paint that world of what you want to it, just like it was a 7 to 9 year old child, into something really positive. If it only perceives this new change, whatever it is, as threatening, it's creating a blank, sort of black canvas. And it's our job to really go in and go, there's a wonderful process I've helped created that where you go in and you go, well, wouldn't it be great to buy clothes that are really size 9 instead of size 14? That part, your ego mind, will probably go, why, yes. So you've just made the bridge between where you want to get to and where you are now easier.
Say a little bit more about that. What is that that it's you're tapping into? I think some people might say, well, then you got to get rid of the ego mind. And you're not saying that.
No. And that's why I got excited about this when I saw it as a possibility to work with rapid change technology, which is mostly how I coach, which means you don't have to go to 7 years of therapy. You can get results in 1 or 2 sessions. You don't want to get rid of it. You can't get rid of it. It has a very powerful function. For a long time, I asked that question. Well, why even have it if it's such a problem? Everybody in personal development talks about, you know, or spiritual world talks about how it's a problem and how it's stopping you. It's kind of got a rap as the bad guy. And what I realized is it has a very powerful function in that it helps us perceive the world as an individual. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to go, there you are, Lee. Here I am, Julie. There's a wall. There's a plant. It would just all be oneness, which essentially we all are in, you know, metaphysics. But because it's designed to really help you experience individuality, that part, we're just going to call it a part, that lives as a part of you, needs its hand held. And part of the reason when people do years and years of therapy, tons and tons of workshops, read all these personal development books, but can't get the change they're really trying to get, is that part, that is the ego mind trying to protect you, is not on board. And I have found that nobody can really make the change from where they are to where they want to go long term, you know, and not just a weekend high, if that part is not on board. If you don't show that part, you know what? This thing I'm talking about, it's good. And you kind of have to dialogue with it because it is like a young 7 to 9 year old child. You can't just go, oh, it's going to be good. That doesn't, it needs pictures, in other words. Oh, and wouldn't it be good if we get to go to Hawaii and be in the favorite swimming suit we've always wanted to be? You would ask that question and that part goes, it's not going to say no to you. Why, yes, that sounds pretty good. And then you say, well, would it be great if we could get rid of all those clothes that make us feel awful and we can buy some whole, I'm saying weight loss because that's that time of year. Wouldn't it be great if we can buy a whole closet full of clothes that make us feel beautiful? Well, that ego mind part is going to go, why, yes, that sounds good. And I just painted three pictures on what was a black canvas of beautiful things, so it can latch onto that and go, you know what? This is beginning to sound good. So as you, it's a dance, really. As you dance with that and continue to put pictures and kind of you have to dialogue back. Sorry, there's someone else trying to talk to me. I can't talk to you. You're creating a wonderful dialogue between you and the part, you and the part that is the ego mind. Once you've done that enough, it will kind of go, okay, I'm on board. And then you can get great change and even get great change fast. So,
okay, I think we're all familiar with people who, you know, they jump on a diet, they lose weight, or they decide to go to the gym and they get into shape. And that gets them to a certain point, and then, and you see them and you're like, wow, you've transformed your life. And then you see them 6 months later and they look like they're the same. Or I think about the people who win the lottery. You know, they maybe are living fairly poorly and then win the lottery and have millions of dollars, and you visit them 5 years later and they're back to that place. Okay. Is that part of what you're talking about?
Exactly what I'm talking about, because that ego mind part is like, nope, not on board. Not on board with long-term wealth. Not on board with long-term health and great fitness. So that's exactly the result you get. Oprah is a great example of it. You know, as much as she has wealth handled, her own conversations with her body have been a constant struggle, because she's never, a lot of what I do in my coaching is get down to the root cause. You know, you can kind of work around it, but still not. If you have a dandelion, you can pull the top off a million times. But unless you dig all the way down and get one of those little long forky things and pull it out at its root, it will continue to proliferate. My P words are slipping this morning. So that's the result you get when you haven't gotten the root cause of the problem out.
And do you see a common root problem?
No, because it's very individualized. I do have a series of questions I ask people in my coaching that help me get to that pretty fast, called the What Would Happen If? What would happen if you suddenly lost 30 pounds and kept it off for the rest of your life? Usually in their answer somewhere is the red flag of whatever this ego mind part is holding up as, no. It might be, what will happen if you suddenly lose 30 pounds and keep it off for the rest of your life? Well, I will feel better. I will look better. Men will start to give me a lot of attention, and that scares me. There's the red flag. And that red flag is part of what we're talking about, what keeps the problem in place. So unless you resolve that yikes that lives in sort of the result you want that some part of you is afraid of, you will never stay there long term. you got to pull all that into alignment with, yes, where I want to go. Because you can want to go all you want to. I want to travel the world. I want to travel the world. I want to travel the world. But where and how? And don't you need a roadmap? Yes, I do. It gets very difficult to go to Paris if you don't know where Paris is and you don't know how to get to the airport.
And so you used the term dinosaur before.
Yeah.
Which tells me that you're approaching this kind of like, you know, this is the primitive brain that's still back in that survival mode.
Yes.
But there's another piece that I hear that it's not just about survival mode. It's also about either I don't know how to handle this mode or I don't deserve this mode.
That's a part of it. The, you know, part of it is deservability. It might be all right to lose 30 pounds with most of you, but if at some point you decided when you were 15 you rejected a boyfriend and you really don't deserve to have a great guy in your life, until that dandelion root, we'll call it, is pulled out, yes, absolutely, it will live as a self-esteem issue that will block the answers you want and the results you want. That's why I'm very much a believer, and I have my own coach, just so everybody knows. A good coach is smart enough to have a coach, because we all have blind spots and it's hard to get past those particular places we're talking about unless you've got another set of eyes on you and somebody who can help you be accountable, if that makes sense.
Sure.
And yes, I just want to say one more thing. It does. It's the limbic part of our brain. It's the part of our brain that, you know, reacts suddenly if somebody bangs into our car. Maybe we have an anger reaction because it's threatened us or it's shaken us up or it's made us afraid. Most of those parts are really, as you said, ancient. And they're looking to, when's the dinosaur coming and can I build a fire tonight to eat? So yes, they're very survival related, which we don't want to run our lives. We're not in those threats anymore, but it's very much still an active part of our brains that we want to balance.
Yeah. So, and the reason I was asking that is I'm a big believer in that triune brain theory that says that we've got these three brains in us and that primitive part is just looking for threat. And yet there's another piece for me that where things really get tricky is you add on not just that reptilian brain, but the mammalian brain that's about emotions and the emotions that we project onto those survival pieces. And that's where I see a lot of the, I don't deserve it pieces or, I don't know what I would do if that happened. Kind of, in other words, we put emotions on to, it's not just a threat. There's some of that threat that I see, like, oh, to travel, gosh, you know, that seems scary, or losing weight, ooh, that feels scary. But the part of I don't deserve it seems like that adds another layer that really is a value piece of the self.
It's a belief, it's a belief system that sort of helps keep that little box we were talking about in place. And that's one of the reasons I work with neurolinguistics, which is NLP, or it's a part of rapid change technology, because you can take a belief like that once you find it, which is also not that hard to do, and you can just collapse it out in the matter of 45 minutes or an hour in such a way that it doesn't ever have to have power over you again. That sounds sort of like hocus pocus, but it's really true, because what you're talking about and the emotional response combined with that sort of fight or flight brain, those all run neurology in your brain. And I'll put a lot of people probably that listen to you know about law of attraction. I heard a wonderful added piece the other day where they said, literally, when you think about something over and over, like what you're talking about, a belief system around a problem, I don't deserve it, I don't deserve it, I don't. You're growing brain tissue in that direction. Do you really want to do that? So working with neuroscience and a coaching like I do, it allows us to kind of scratch the record, as it were, of that over and over and over belief. And then it can't play the same way again, which is amazing that can actually happen.
So talk some, you mentioned NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. Some people might not be familiar with that. What is your understanding or definition of that?
Well, my simple definition is that a problem or a belief is something. If you think of one of those little Christmas trees that run around the bottom, a little train that runs around the bottom of a Christmas tree, that's us thinking the same thought or belief system over and over and over and over. You don't have a lot of chance of setting the track in another direction as long as you're just running that train around the same place. So NLP, neurolinguistics, actually kind of picks the in our, we have 36 processes at the master level, picks the train up of the belief system and says, well, where would you like to go? And kind of while we entertain and help dissolve the problem, we lay the track in a different direction using some of those processes and then set your train back down so you can really get momentum to where you want to go. And a lot of that is done with language, and some of it is done with hypnotherapy, but it's more the shorter processes that get amazing results, where you talk. I had a guy come to me the other day, 10 years that he's been dealing with insomnia and on heavy sleep medication. But in one session, being able to work with him on some of this stuff, within a week, he was sleeping 7 hours and not just stepped down on his medication, completely off his medication. That's because we helped him think. We took his train and held it up in the air for a moment and entertained him and then dissolved some of those belief systems. Like, well, of course you can do this. Why wouldn't you be able to do this? And set some clear patterns in that direction so that he could latch on to them with his brain and see possibility again. Really, it's helping people bust outside the reality that they know so they can see possibility again.
So what was his belief that had to change in terms of insomnia? Because that's a pretty practical little thing. But there's something that was limiting him. What was his belief that limiting him? And then what did he move to?
He believed he couldn't do it.
Couldn't sleep?
Couldn't sleep. Couldn't get off the medication. And yet he knew he had to because he's a doctor. So he was aware that he needed to. He tried everything that he could possibly think of until he's finally like, well, I guess I'll try this. I'm a doctor. I don't really know about hypnotherapy and NLP and all that, but I've heard about it. So he tried it. And we just connect. One of my favorite things to do is what I call the future self process that I created, where you get to step into the future of the you that's already solved the problem and get answers there. And that was so empowering to him, to see himself having already solved the problem and to ask that future self, how do I get there? The future you always knows, because time and space doesn't really, quote unquote, exist. So when you access, having solved the problem as if it doesn't exist anymore, you can actually get answers and propel yourself forward with that, which is very cool.
One of the things that strikes me about, for instance, that example in particular, and my guess is it's true with everyone, is he stated he had a belief that he couldn't sleep, and yet he was seeking help to resolve that. And even in seeking help, somewhere in there, there's another piece that knows better.
Yes.
What's that about?
Well, he wouldn't be still looking for help if he didn't know he could solve it. Our job really is master practitioners with neurolinguistics is to stand in that the client can absolutely get what they want. They've just become disconnected from their experience that they can have it. So really our whole job is about reconnecting them to the source of themselves as power and fueling that in such a way that they can latch onto, oh, this is possible. This is really possible. And once you're doing that, you're growing your brain tissue in that direction, and it makes it such a magnificent difference. I will say that I have a very specific intake information that people have to fill out for me, and I get a 98% success rate with my clients, but I won't take somebody that can't fill out the paperwork because that tells me they're not really ready. You definitely, want to have, if you used to ask somebody, come to me for smoking cessation and you ask them why they want to quit and they say, my wife wants me to quit. I say, here's your money. Mm-hmm. Come back when you want to quit. So I really make sure the people I'm working with are ready to get what they say they want to get. Because some people, you know, dance around it for a long time before they're actually really ready.
I guess that was one of the things I was looking at as you were talking about that. When I was working a lot in the office, one of my big clientele were couples who were wanting to save their relationship, and you know, they would come in and someone would say, you know, there's nothing that can be done here. And my response is, then why are you here? I mean, if you really believe that, then why are you here at all? And what that usually tapped into was a place that most people have, that they still either have hope or some belief that something could be different.
Right. Right. And you can find that, and you'll know very quickly if somebody is or isn't, because if you ask them a few questions and like, why, just like you said, well, why do you want to do it? What's different about now than every other time in your life? Then usually when you help people think in that direction, they'll find the reasons. Mm-hmm. But some people won't. But the percentage is lower on that.
Okay, so let's say you're looking at your the ideal person coming to you. Mm-hmm. What would they look like and what would they be wanting?
It's great. The ideal person for me, now I can work with anyone. Like I said, I have a preference and they answer the questionnaire. Someone who does what I tell them to do will get their results. I have never in 15 years seen anybody not get the result they want if they are committed to telling them. I give them a game plan and a roadmap. So I offer a money back guarantee. If you don't get the results and you've done everything I tell you, then I'll give you your money back. My favorite client is somebody who I send them the recap on the session. I give them a few tasks to do. They write me back in a few days. Done that. What's next? Because those people, A, move the fastest, but also, you know, it's very inspiring to see somebody that committed. Mm-hmm. And it's the kind of coaching client I am when I'm in the hot seat. I just want to know, okay, great. I don't know what to do. You tell me what to do and I'll start doing it. And some people then will have a dance after they get the tasks of, I'm having trouble getting to the tasks. And it's okay if they do. We'll kind of drill down to why do you think that is and what you want to do about it.
To me, that is one of those distinctions I hold about those who are thrivers, people who are going to thrive, and those who are not. And I really do think that the biggest difference between the two is awareness and motivation. And I really do think that everybody's got the thriving place in them. They just don't know how to access it at that point. But that's the big distinction. It is, can they see a possibility? Can they learn from what's been difficult? Can they find a way, instead of saying, well, you know, this is the way it's been, this is the way it's going to be, that keeps them stuck. And it really is an interesting place for me to watch the difference between what I would say is a thriver and a victim.
Yeah.
Does that fit for your profile of who's?
Yeah, I think that, and people that are what we might call victims are really people who are disconnected from, motivation is just a lack of vision. A lack of motivation is just a lack of vision. Yes, if somebody comes in and they're all about how they're being done to, it's not that they're unworkable, but they've got to make a pretty significant change in order to thrive. You know, and that's all right. I can help them do that. You know, I have a lot of compassion for that because I've been in a place like that before myself where it just looks hopeless. What's amazing I find about, and probably you too, you know, if people get just a little bit of inspiration, they can blow outside of that victimhood or you know, whatever you want to call it, hopeless, helpless. Really, it's just being at the bottom of the emotional scale where you can't dig out. But with just a little bit of encouragement and inspiration, and that's why when I'm coaching, I keep my energy pretty high so that the person can fall into that energy and kind of raise themselves to that. I know in a few sessions if somebody really is not going to be able to, and I will encourage them to maybe do other things. But, you know, for the most part, I don't find people come to me that aren't ready for that. It's kind of who I attract. So, if that makes sense.
So you said that you had been there before. You'd been in that spot. What was it that pulled you out? What was the difference?
I'm a Scorpio, so yes, I was there a lot. I am lucky to have a lot of personal development tools. First of all, I can use most of my coaching tools on myself. But, you know, when you're really jammed in, it's hard to even do that sometimes because you get so – it becomes a blind spot. I reach out. And I always have – I can call and just empty out to. I like to think of it as the buddy system. I have a number of people on at any time. Sometimes you just need to I'm writing a new book called The Simply Love Toolkit with my colleague. And that's why we're writing it, so that people don't know how to move their energy a lot. And moving your energy when you're stuck is the name of the game. Not just sitting at home. It's easy to just proliferate sitting at home and watching television and eating too much and getting stuck in the bottom. I learned at that point what the value of moving your energy is. So even though I may feel that way, and even though I may like to do that if I'm really in a stuck place, I know, get out, take a walk, call one of my best friends and say, I just need to empty out and blah, blah, blah for 10 minutes. Even though it's on the problem, that's okay. I'm not keeping it inside and it's not staying stuck, or journaling or whatever it is, but moving that energy from the inside of your body to the outside of your body. Really learning that saved my life, along with having some other great coaches.
those tools, it's interesting how most of us have discovered tools because we needed them ourselves. And we end up helping others, not because we've never known it, but because we did know it and had to move to a different place.
Yeah, that's the best coaching, because I am a much better coach for somebody who's had sexual abuse, because I've been through it, then I would be to coach, not that I couldn't, but I haven't been a millionaire yet. So, you know, I could coach someone to that, but the problems that they might, you know, get when they're at 500,000 and they want to push through to a million, I haven't experienced yet. I can use all my good tools, but I can absolutely take anyone through a dark place I've already been with a lot of compassion. And that's worth its weight in gold, I think.
So as you look back, you've learned some lessons about thriving, I suspect. What do you think are the top three lessons you've learned about thriving in life?
For me, I have to meditate. I do it twice a day, because starting your day without being still and connecting to source is like starting your toast without ever plugging the toaster in and then wondering why it doesn't get done. I don't know how people, it's once in a while I have to run out without meditating. I'm like, how do people do this? You're creating without being still and grounding first. So for me, the grounding aspect of meditation, I couldn't have thrived at all if I didn't have that. And I'm very committed to that. Or I would be committed if I was doing that. I think my creativity, because I'm a writer and I'm an actor and many other things, but that's my seed inside me. Coaching kind of happened, I fell into it, but you know, my passion is acting and writing and entertaining, and I fed that. And I think when we don't feed those little seeds inside us, like we were talking about, no matter what they are, or how simple they are, you're not fueling your spirit. And so I fuel my spirit. And then the third thing is I like I said, I have other people coach me out of the challenges. And I always work to stay inspired and evolving my personal development path. And I have an amazing partner. I'm very, very lucky.
I think that was more than just three. You've added a little bit. Support network is so important, but it sounds like what you're saying is finding a way of grounding yourself, gaining energy, and finding support. Those are kind of the arenas.
Thanks for bullet pointing.
tell me some about, if somebody wants to contact you, why would they want to do that? What would they be wanting to change? And what's their best way of finding you?
Well, they would want to contact me if there's anything that's stopping them they don't have the answer to. Or if there's anything they have talked themselves out of that seems like a dream that they could do if they just had someone helping them. Dreamwithjulie.com is my website. And there's a great video on there right on the homepage that talks about being a success and really gives a feel for how I like to work, I think. And by people signing in, I will send them, we were just talking about the what would happen if questions, I will send them that and they can start answering them for themselves and going, oh, there it is. There's my red flag. So that's the easiest way for them to contact me.
One more time.
Dreamwithjulie.com.
Okay. Julie, thank you for talking about what helps people to thrive, and thank you for offering some tools. And I'm sure that people are going to want to come and at least figure out what their answer is to your questions.
Thank you so much, Lee. I really appreciate being here.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, what a great interview. I do appreciate Julie spending our time with us. And just want to remind you, if that really caught with you, if there's something about that, if you want to learn how to kind of do that self-assessment, I urge you to go and just take a look at dreamwithjulie.com. That's a good place to get that information, to get started with that process and see if it works for you. Now, I also want to just say thank you for being here, spending your time here, listening to Better Ways of Thriving, but more than that, for your interest in trying to improve your life. Now, this is a time when I ask for a little help from you. If you have some ideas, something you would like to hear about on this podcast, if you could just email me at podcast@thriveology.com. That's T-H-R-I-V-E-O-L-O-G-Y, thriveology.com. And let me know what that would be, podcast@thriveology.com. Also, if you could, if you're listening in the iTunes store, if you would just give us, or from the podcast app for iTunes, if you would just give us a rating, that would be great. If you could give us a rating and maybe even a review of what you like about this, that would really help us grow. The other way you can help is by doing a tweet, and it's real easy to do for me. I've got it pre-formatted. If you type in thriveology.com/love, L-O-V-E, just a way to give us a little love, that'll already, if you've already got Twitter, that will put everything right in there, and you can just hit send and let people know that you've enjoyed the Thriveology podcast. Love to hear about that. Love to hear from you. Let me know how we can help more. Know that we're going to be back next week. In fact, next week, I'm going to be talking about what I think is just a crucial subject. Forgiveness. I've talked about this in another format. I talk about this with people I'm working with on saving your marriage, and I'm finding that it really hangs some people up. So I hope you'll come back next week and listen to not just why you should forgive. A lot of us know that we should forgive, but how to do it. 6 steps on how you can forgive. So come back, visit us again next week. I wish you the best. This is Lee Balcom.
Listening to the Thriveology podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want more information, visit us at thriveology.com or at thriveologymagazine.com. Remember that Thriveology is spelled T-H-R-I-V-E-O-L-O-G-Y. It's your life. Time to live it.